Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show.
I offer up myself to you, protected by your hand. My dreams and schemes and all I have surrendered to your plan. I know that I'm inadequate, I stumble and I fall, but still you always pick me up whenever I will call.
We humbly bow before you, we love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow before the throne. We give you all the glory, salvation is our story. We humbly bow before the throne.
I offer up myself to you, protected by your hand. My dreams and schemes and all I have is surrendered to your plan. I know that I'm inadequate, I stumble and I fall, still you always pick me up whenever I will call.
We humbly bow before you, we love to praise and adore you. We give you all the glory, salvation is our story. We humbly bow before the throne.
I need you by my side, forgive me for my pride. Please hear my cry before.
John's been working 14-hour days. I'm going to try to have the show earlier next week around 8 p.m., 6 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. our time, to see if Dave Bauer, one of my locals, can help with the hosting. Tonight we have three topics. Death of our Queen, Miss Elizabeth, Ukraine nuclear crisis, American businesses that fail. What is it like to work in the U.S. now with such disparity between well-run corporations and management-favored companies? Jane will tell you. Also, the nuclear power plant in southern Ukraine, the biggest one in Europe, but controlled by Russia, is at the center of much international concern. It has now announced they are powering down on August 28th to one final working reactor. In a message Sunday at the end of August, the nuclear operator Energotum said the power lines had been restored to Zaporizhzhia plant, but they were powering down reactor number 6, preparing it to be cooled and transferred to a safer state. Because of shelling in and around the area, the entire plant has been cut off from the electricity grid for several days with one working reactor on an island mode. And I heard on NPR, the island mode, you can't leave it on that forever because it's just kind of like in the safety type operation. It essentially powered the rest of the plant's crucial cooling systems. The owners have been discussing shutting down the plant because of the power issues and the conditions of Ukrainian workers. The powering down was a precaution as its safest mode for the reactors. There are still major worries the plant could be disconnected from the grid by shelling. So lately in the news, there's really the Ukrainian-Russian war is at a stalemate. They did gain some leverage in some cities, Ukrainian side, but Russia still has full control over the southern ports. Queen Elizabeth died this week. She was 96, and her son Charles III, King Charles, he will now be called, is taking over. And towards the end of the show, I'm going to discuss American businesses that have failed me and led me into other decision-making aspects of my employment. So with that, I'm going to pull in Don. Don, what topic would you like to cover first?
The least I'm familiar with, which is Ukraine. Well, actually, the Queen. Actually, all three, they kind of are...
Yeah, well, let's wait till the end to discuss. I had something specific to say about corporations today, but I don't want to do it till the end because I'm afraid one of my coworkers might overhear it, and if they do, I'm going to have to make them listen to the whole show in order to get to that third topic.
Well, yeah, okay. Whatever.
So let's start with the Queen. I've heard a lot of good things about her this week on the news. The Colombian president said they were instrumental, England and the diplomats and the Queen, in following through with the General Assembly at the UN to create a peace process for that country, Colombia, in South America. I've heard high regard for her after she has died regarding her patience and intelligence about handling international matters. Now, if John were on the air, he would say something that they were aligned with the United Nations objective and all that kind of stuff. But really, England is a pretty independent country. They exited the EU system, and they've always kind of been their own people. So what do you have to say about it?
Well, in the media, there's nothing but good that's been said about her. We have to remember that she...
Can you go to a quieter room before we get started?
Okay. Yeah. She was a colonialist. So, her family and all of, England, that's why it's called the British Empire. But she was a colonialist, so there are things that she did not like that have not been said. The rift with Meghan Markle. Some of the other things that have gone on under the wraps, Andrew going out, if she knew what Andrew, everyone knew.
With Jeffrey Epstein's crew. We should talk about the colonialism part. When she took office in the late 40s, right after World War II, England controlled a lot of colonies still. And she didn't have the perspective that all men are equal and they should be liberated from colonialism. Most of the African colonies didn't get liberated till between 1945 and 1960. And there were other parts of the world that abandoned the English.
Well, they didn't abandon the English. The English didn't have enough services to continue being the monitor of those colonies all over the world. So, the Caribbean colonies, the South America colonies, the African colonies, the Indonesian or, Australian colonies. They had all these colonies. and they didn't have the manpower or monetary power to keep them going. So they just out of financial need had to become their own state.
I did overhear the Canadian Prime Minister saying that, you know, when he was younger, everybody hailed the Queen and stuff like that, but Canada, they haven't become disenfranchised by the royal family, but it's less of an influence now than it was like 30 years ago.
Absolutely, and that's the reason, you know, these countries become countrified, if you will. And they, you know, even though they love their heritage and, you know, the people revere their culture, they become whatever location they are, those kind of peoples. And, you know, slowly but surely the monarchies are, I mean, not dying off, but just the people who run them are dying off. And so it's kind of like, soon it's going to be kind of a free for all, if you will, on, you know, on all the things that these people are able to do.
Yeah, 36 colonies fell between 1945 and 1960.
Yeah, but you're looking at colonies that were India. You're talking about the third largest population in the world.
I know, I'm just mentioning it. It was mainly after World War II that big wave of, because I took an African course when I was in North Carolina Central, and that's when the Africans really asserted themselves. Also, the Europeans did retain control over Hong Kong.
Right.
In the last few years. They were supposed to abandon that area, and then they took it back or something.
Well, that was, yeah, that was, yeah, it's just, anyway, go ahead.
Well, all I'm trying to say is, I still think England is a centerpiece of the world because the royal family is so recognizable. They're so well known, and they've been in the news for, they've been in the live television news for over 50 to 70 years. Even Queen Elizabeth had her coronation that her husband promoted to be on live television. So, and
right.
95% of the British people watched that. I believe she was coronated in 1953. I saw some wrong information in the news this week that she was coronated in 1947. But she was 25 years old, and she was born in 26. So 26, she was, maybe it was in 1951, I'll have to look it up. But she was my mother's age. They were born 3 days apart in the same year.
Ah.
So do you think, I did think of one thing that's probably not a pleasant thought, but her funeral's on Monday, and I was thinking, I hope there's not a terrorist act that day, because they're going to have a mass. There's going to be a massive funeral in England, and Prince William and Prince Harry will be there, as well as King Charles. So
yeah,
that
well,
kind of makes me irksome.
No, don't worry about it, because unless it's a bomber with, you know, a suicide bomber. They're not allowed guns. You know, those countries, you can't, you don't understand.
That normally
you
don't carry guns.
You don't carry guns. And if you've ever been anywhere near there, the people who do carry guns are the military and police, and they're very prominent. You know, so it's in a band. It definitely is something that
now,
people revere, that they respect.
I do want to bring up, I am going to maybe shift back to the Queen later, but overall she was a stable person, didn't show a lot of emotion, but composed herself well. And I think that's why she gained long-term respect, because she didn't live by her emotions like her uncle did, the one who left for love and married Wallace Simpson. I do think, you know, the only time that she failed in her duties is when Princess Diana died, and she didn't come out publicly and make a statement earlier. She was not in tune with the times.
Well, no, she was hiding stuff. Come on, Jane. Diana and Charles are on the outs. They were having major problems. And there's a good.
And they were already divorced too when she died.
That's what I'm saying. So there's a good probability that someone had them had her. I won't say assassinated in the way it is. Had her assassinated, and
I do think it was just a matter of fate.
That was a chauffeur is not supposed to be going, you know, 90 miles an hour or 100 kilometers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was a combination of bad driving and the paparazzi stalking her and a lot of traffic in that tunnel. I do think maybe not in the divine sense. Was it just a matter of fate, but did God appoint her to die on that day? No, it was shoddy human behavior that she died because of.
Well, the bottom line is that the queen, in some aspects, probably covered some stuff up. And, you know, there's a lot of things that go on behind Buckingham Palace. And, you know, it's just unbelievable that people still.
I'm aware
follow,
of that.
But people are still following an extremely archaic method of government. The monarchy has virtually no say in anything.
She meets with the prime minister.
He
does inform her of the going ons. And I heard the one thing, though, is Queen Elizabeth did influence world leaders. Like I just said, instrumental in the Colombian peace process. You're right, she has no legitimate power, but the constitutional monarchy is a dual head system. There's a prime minister and then there's the queen, or who's the king, who's ever in charge.
Right. Well, whoever's in charge very seldom gets involved in legislation.
If you watched any bit of The Crown, which I doubt you did, Margaret Thatcher was hell-bent on going to the Falkland Islands, and Queen Elizabeth was reluctant to agree with her in the beginning. Of course, Margaret Thatcher made her own decision, but Queen Elizabeth did not want to use brutal warfare. She didn't want to use violence against the people occupying that island, even if they were trying to overtake it.
It happened.
Okay, I'm shifting now to the Ukraine because I have some important thoughts. And like I said, John might be calling in, but he's on a 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. day right now with the construction. And he said he gets home at 8, takes a shower at the gym, and then goes to bed. So I want to transfer the topic matter to the Ukraine, which I will outline in a brief map. First of all, Crimea's at the bottom of the Ukraine in the southern part in the Black Sea. It's surrounded by water on almost four sides. It's adjacent to It's adjacent to another part of Russia, a small portion on the eastern side. And then Chernobyl, which people forget, it happened in the Ukraine way back in the 80s. I think it was 1980, if I'm not mistaken.
You shouldn't forget that.
Right, and the Ukraine is upset because this Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant is by Mariupol, by the southeastern port of the Ukraine. It's probably 40 right. miles away, and they've shut down that plant because of shelling. Now, both the Ukrainian and the Russians are blaming each other for lack of safety measures, but there are Russian soldiers guarding that. So they don't want a nuclear disaster, but international inspectors have been in there monitoring things during its partial shutdown. Ukraine, I heard a former legislator from the Ukraine on the air today, and she said that Ukraine won't stop till they gain all their territory back from the initial start of the war in February, and I believe that's unrealistic because Russians' plans for the last 100 years has been territorial expansion, and I don't think that Ukraine is going to, at least effectively without a strong armed ally, is going to get all that land back that they've lost so far. I think Russia will have their nose in there for the next 5 years. What's your opinion?
Well, Ukraine used to be part of Russia. And, you know, this is nothing new. These are brothers killing brothers in a civil war that has spiritual bent to it. You know, the Russians are relatively, it's hard to say, they're not non-atheists, ardent atheists, but not as spiritual as some countries. You know, for the most part, they are trying to exert power, power is a god in a way, and they're trying to take back a country that was formerly theirs, and they went back again. Just like England, they're going to run out of resources. You mentioned that stagnant war right now, but actually the Ukraine is taking back portions, small portions, the portions of where Russian armies have met. So, you know, there are things that are going on over there that we don't really know about, but Chernobyl, you know, was one of the worst nuclear disasters ever. I think Fukushima is worse.
It was right in the Ukraine. I knew it was somewhere near Russia, but I didn't quite remember exactly where it was.
Right, yeah, it was right in the northern part, northeastern part. But, in Maripol, those reactors are probably going to be targets at one point anyway, so it's a good idea to shut them down, even though a lot of the remaining peoples are going to have little power or no power. But they will be.
It happened in April 26, 1986, so I was off by 6 years.
Yeah. Well, for the most part, they're going to have to live with it because Russia will nuke bomb any nuke site in lieu of launching their own nukes. That would be their.
You have a good memory. The 2011 Fukushima nuclear disaster in Japan. Well, I remember that. Because then they had really strange weather after that, and that whole city was lost.
The city was by a sea. And this sea.
Yeah, peninsula, and it was isolated in Japan?
Right off the peninsula, that's right over the Pacific Ocean. And
right.
So most of that nuclear waste got into our ocean, and we don't know yet what the fish and other marine life have, you know. And then, you know, we're looking at nuclear. There's 10,000 years or 50,000 years, something like that. It's there for a long time. So those people.
Did you hear about all the fish dying in Marriott Lake near San Francisco? They've had
they're
a lack of
algae
and lack of oxygen, and it's also washing up on the bay, and they think part of it's global warming, part of it's the drought or lack of, I don't know what it is, but it's more acidity in the water and things of that nature. But they've had thousands of fish wash up on the shores in the bay and Marriott Lake near Oakland. Now, I want to read some, can I read a quick paragraph?
I'm just going to say that they must not be including pollution, because the cities are throwing all kinds of water into their lakes and bays everywhere. Go ahead.
The Chernobyl disaster was a nuclear accident that occurred in 86 at the number 4 reactor in the Chernobyl nuclear power plant near the city of Pripyat in the northern Ukrainian SSR, which was at the time part of the Soviet Union. It is one of only two nuclear energy accidents rated at 7, the maximum severity, by the International Nuclear Event Scale, the other being Fukushima nuclear disaster in 2011 in Japan. The initial emergency response, together with decontamination of the environment, involved more than 500,000 personnel and costed an estimated 18 billion rubles, roughly $68 billion in U.S. dollars, adjusted for inflation. The accident occurred during a safety test meant to measure the ability of the steam turbine to power the emergency feed water pumps. That's all. I just thought I'd do a quick overview.
Thank you. I'm sure we loved it. But, there aren't that many nuclear disasters, major nuclear disasters, so they're not hard to remember. But, being out here on the West Coast, we are more sensitive to things like that, more sensitive to things like wildfires, which we're breathing air right now that is, it's like close to a 400 in the air quality. So we're really breathing bad air right now here in Reno. So, the natural disasters happen, but they're coming in much more frequent. And like the flooding, the monumental flooding in Kentucky, that doesn't happen. Kentucky is a hilly state for the in large part. And so you've got natural tributaries, and there shouldn't be, they're relatively rural, so there shouldn't be flooding in communities unless the planners were just completely brain dead. But, things are happening right now in more frequency, but I cannot say that it's completely 100% climate change due to fossil fuel use. I think that maybe over time things are always cyclical, and there might be a possibility that this is not a natural occurrence, even though we are at an all-time high in the history of the planet, except for, I think, about 2 million years ago in carbon emission, carbon inside in our atmosphere. So, that plays up to the air pollution or climate change. But other than that, this may be a natural cyclical situation. But,
that's good points. I do feel that we are in a strange transition in the world right now with, like, if you look on paper, this is kind of an off-topic, but Biden is doing a good job tackling some issues, like repairing bridges and roads and the infrastructure. Everybody keeps bitching about inflation, but we haven't had a crisis like that since Jimmy Carter was in office. We've had it easy with low interest rates for over 40 years, and then we have the isolated Ukrainian-Russian war. But I don't know. I can't sense any looming disaster at this time. Can you?
That's why the stock markets are stable right now, because we're in a cathartic period of time. You're right. You know, it's kind of a weird situation because there is a changing of the guards, and new powers are trying to take a hold of, you know, what is still is no longer a fledgling democracy in America. We have become a little more mature. We understand the ins and outs of the law and economics as it works in laissez-faire, you know, republic economics. So we're learning how to not only, but how to play the system. And you always have the proverbial dark against light. So there are, you know, people that are making money legally and making money illegally and doing other things. So, you know,
we have a guest caller.
We're coming to a point, inflection point, where we have to find out who we really are. All right, go ahead.
Thank you. That was a great summary. That was a great summary, Don. You're doing excellent tonight. Let's see who's calling from the 843. I'm not familiar with this area code. Hi, this is Jane from Political Gravity. Who am I speaking with?
How you doing? My name is Eddie, and it's South Carolina. Where are you located? You're on the West Coast?
I live in northern Minnesota, and all my other co-hosts live in California and Nevada. But tonight we only have one host on the air besides me. Don is from Reno, Nevada. He's on the air. I'm from Duluth, Minnesota. John is from Santa Monica, and Albert's from Riverside. I think you have called the show before. I'm not sure. But what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I got on kind of late, as you know, but I was just looking at what your show is about, and I was on the marquee, and this is America. Yeah, okay, the United States is corporation. Basically, all the CEOs of the United States were part of the British royal family, but this is still America.
Are you talking like the Rothschilds and the movers and shakers and the 1%?
Yeah, they're basically right. And, you know, just like you were saluting. Well, I don't understand if you were saluting the transition of the queen. It says
I wasn't so much saluting her, but I gained, you never really, she was not that emotionally transparent in public. And now that this probably sounds cheesy because I'm an intellectual, but after watching The Crown and seeing all the stages she went through her whole life, because I felt like it was pretty realistic, like all the transitions she had, like from Winston Churchill all the way through Margaret Thatcher, I kind of got a bigger picture of what her responsibility was and how she composed herself in certain situations, not to mention the personal family scandals, which I'm less interested in. I'm not really praising her 100% because I was born in 1960 and I was against European colonialism. And when I attended North Carolina Central, I learned a lot about the African decolonization, and I do think that British definitely exploited many countries, including Iraq when they ran Iran when they ran British petroleum there, and enslaved the Iranians in that oil industry. So, I do like her personally. I don't think it's her fault that a lot of the institutional baggage that comes with England is necessarily her responsibility, but she perceived her subjects, whether it was in Canada, Australia, or elsewhere, as part of the kingdom and she treated them as such, whether it seems immoral to have that type of colonial outlook. So what is your opinion?
Are you saying that she's the Queen of England, but the decisions that was made by England weren't her decisions? So she was just
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that the institutions that were in place, I probably didn't say it right, but she took the throne at age 25, and colonialism was in full swing. From my perspective, she supported her father and the royal family tradition and just tried to maintain those institutions in a respectable manner. But when you look at colonialism in its rawest form, it's not a moral thing. Each person should run their own country indigenously. They should not be run by an outside entity.
And that goes back to the difference between America and the United States also. Prime example.
We can cut into the corporation corruption pretty soon.
Okay.
We already covered the Ukraine. I just want to have you talk because you're our guest. And then I would like to see your perspective.
It's interesting that when Trump was president, he strived to bring commerce back to an industry back to the United States. Now I'll say United States as far as that's concerned, because that's commerce, that's business, and that's the responsibility of a ruler of or the CEO of a corporation. I salute him for that because it is very important, regardless of what some other people thought he was saying, because I'm melanated. People say black, whatever, I'm melanated, I'm indigenous. So my point is, I lost a lot of friends on their decision because of me saying these things about saluting somebody that they didn't care for, which is their right. You know, I'm not into sports, I'm not gonna go too far. But my point is, that's what his agenda was. I know about the Central Park Five. I used to live in New York. But just like what you're saying, the individual that is in control, his responsibility is that land. Just like Biden sent $1 billion or however many billions it was to Ukraine, that was an abomination. You know, I call that money.
That is a lot of money. I mean, from a budgeting perspective, it's not affordable for us to sink that much money into the Ukraine. But I do want to comment on your statement about Trump. I also have black friends who use that same terminology, melanated. One of my friends is part of the movement of the black Israelites, you know, like the kingdom from the 12 tribes. So he sees himself in a different way, but as far as Trump, I was supportive of him bringing manufacturing jobs back to America. As a person, I didn't like him personally because of his attitude and his offhanded language. But I have a lot of friends that I know who are Trump supporters, including one of our hosts. And they lost a lot of their friends, too, because of their strong favoritism towards Trump. I do think Trump was honest in the sense of what his objective was, but I think he clouded his purpose by being too demonstrative and offensive to other people that didn't agree with him. And Don is on the air here, and him and his wife are leaders in the NAACP in Reno, and Don, perhaps you could comment.
About what? I mean,
your feelings about
right now,
Trump and what he said about...
Well, we screw Trump. I mean, he did a lot of good things, and I can't say anything bad about him.
How do you feel about Biden? Are you fearful? Well, you don't want to speak on him because he's head of state right now. I'll understand because, you know, flack is flack.
No.
You know.
No. No, I...
He'll answer.
I met... Oh, my God. I've got personal acquaintance. I've met him quite a few times. So I have a general idea of what he's like. And in essence, he is and always has been a yes man. So right now, he is doing pretty much whatever everybody else in the party, as loud as voices, are asking him to do. So, you know, personally, he's got some issues, and he's getting the job done. He's serving his purpose. He's already served his purpose. So if he... As far as the Trump election.
Do you really feel he beat... you feel he beat Trump fair and square?
Oh, yeah. 7 million votes is fair and square. If I got...
Do you remember...
Don affirms the Georgia vote.
Exactly. Just like Baby Bush. Just like Baby Bush. They're still finding paper ballots in Florida, you know.
I think Bush cheated because...
I would personally like to go back to paper ballots. I agree. I don't like anything that's data covered. Nothing. Zero. Our education system is bad because scientists have shown that kids learn much better with books, something physical in their hands, than they are something that is fleeting. So,
do you remember?
Everything is going wrong, but all I can do is sit back and laugh because I know what's wrong and how to fix it. Go ahead.
Do you remember when Obama won? Well, it's not necessarily specifically about Obama winning as much as it is about the voting board wanted to look at the computers when they started using computers. I think that's the first time they used them. They wouldn't let the voting board look into the computers because the computers were proprietary and patented and all of this foolishness, right? But yet they still let people use those computers for voting. That would have never happened, and it shouldn't have happened in my eyes. And again, it's not about Obama winning or losing. You know, to me, presidents are selected, not elected. That's my opinion. I have a right to my opinion.
But, oh, no, you might be right, because if you look at every election with the voting machine, there's an hour and a half between, if you're looking at Pacific time, generally about 10 o'clock to 11:30, where nothing moves.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing at all. There are no updates. No retraction. Nothing is really... changing in percentages, and during that time, there's a good possibility. You know, that's a perfect time to start moving things around. You know, I personally don't trust virtually anything that white man has made, because it's all in his best interest and no one else's. And that's just the nature of the beast. But you know, I would never salute them, and it's just something that I've felt all my life, and you know, having malleable software and voting machines is not far-fetched.
We've done several shows on the Diebold voting machines, and like there was a letter that George Bush sent one of the top, you know, voting administrators in Ohio during his second election, saying, "Is this state ours?" And we have covered a lot of the shows regarding the discrepancy in voting outcomes. I do, as a Democrat, and now I've distance myself from the two-party system. I have no idea if Joe Biden won fair and square, but I do think some states were tainted, without a doubt, and that the election was much closer.
Well, 7 million votes is 7 million votes. That's insurmountable. So,
right.
That's
true, because during the 2000 election, it was, there was a discrepancy of only between 50,000 and 150,000 votes between Gore and Bush.
And that's the election that started the big time potential theft. But, you know, we're looking at the most major right that, you know, some people have is to vote. And, as I said, I'd rather go back to paper ballots if that's going to be a more sure thing. But 7 million votes is 7 million votes. And that's insurmountable, no matter whether we have the Electoral College or not. And remember two things. Trump was a Democrat for most of his life. So, for him to snooker the Republicans like he's done, it shows a lot of things. The need for dictators, the desire for,
In my opinion, his personality was detrimental to the government system.
But it's not.
Did you like Obama, our guest caller?
But it's not detrimental to a third of the population.
True. Because they wanted to go back to an era where America comes first.
That's what I'm talking about.
And we live in an international age where I don't think that's possible, that nationalism should supersede the international objective of problem solving. I think there should be a more collaborative body of international problem solving.
There would be. That's what TPP was about. But
well, we should let our guest talk, Don, because he's probably not going to be on the air too long.
All right, go ahead.
Are you still there? Wait a minute, I got to go back in my studio and see if he hung up. But
okay,
I do have a recollection that he has called the show before, he had to call back in because his phone call dropped. So
okay, there you go. You can hear me.
Hi, this is Jane. I was in the bedroom and your call dropped and I just let you back in.
Oh yeah, I was constantly talking. Because I didn't know I was on mute. But anyway.
well, you weren't I didn't purposely put you on mute. Something must have happened in the last 10 minutes where it got shifted because I didn't put you on mute.
I think there's – do you have any animals that you have? Do you have a cat or a dog or anything?
I have zero
no.
animals. In fact, I'm not even an animal person. I do like birds and owls.
See, that's what happened. You have a cat or you have birds and owls?
No, I don't have any animals.
She has no animals. She could not.
Oh, I was getting ready to say
one of them animals
went up to your computer and pressed mute on me because they want like Biden, but
First of all, I didn't catch your first name, and second of all, I want to know when people bring up people like Trump immediately. I just wanted to know that. Do you think the American government is framed around the personality of the president all the time? Like, is there ever a way people can discuss public policy without, downgrading the personality that's driving it? Because I have a hunch that if you like Trump, you didn't like Obama.
Well, Obama was cool in a few ways, but Obama to me is just like what Biden is doing. Just like what you're saying. He's appeasing certain individuals, and he's not really governing the benefit of this land called America, in my eyes. Because there's no reason with coming out of this testdemic, and he's sending that much money into another country that. All of the world, UK, China, everybody was purchasing products and having a bank accounts in that country called Ukraine.
What country?
Ukraine.
That's what
yes.
I pretty much believe there's a hidden objective because the Ukraine's in a geographical strategic territory. And I obviously we're sending $50 billion in aid for another Don, just a minute. We're probably sending $50 billion in aid for another hidden reason that they're not
right.
revealing to the public.
Exactly.
There's a lot of – that's agriculture. They need to keep Ukraine going because Ukraine is the breadbasket for parts of Africa and the rest of the Eastern Bloc.
Did you hear? Excuse me.
You're right about that, Don. They wanted to release
Wait a minute.
Maripol.
I'm right.
How many Americas? How many Americas can you put in Africa?
The
even
whole country.
Even with the bleach bombs that was dropped on Abyssinia, which is Ethiopia, right? You could put almost 3 Americas. In Africa. You
That's
mean to
what
tell
I was
going to
say. It's Africa's 3 times the size of the United States.
Thank you. So, looking at...
So, bottom line is that, I don't know what your point is because the Ukraine...
Well, I wanted to specify. I'll specify giving liberty to do so.
Because the week...
Let him do it, Don. We only get a caller like every other week.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yes. At one time, most people know that Ukraine was owned by Russia, just like Alaska.
That's what I said.
Right? Okay. The waterway that feeds Russia comes from the Ukraine.
Correct.
There's a lot of minerals that come from the Ukraine that are in cell phones, all kind of technology, even weaponry.
Yep.
There's an organization that's been promising the Ukraine for about, I don't know, 15, 20 years that they were going to bring them into the UK, that organization, and they haven't done it. And they're using that as a carrot to get these minerals and all of these things from the Ukraine at a very discounted price. The Ukraine didn't really need $1 billion. Just like when they ran out of part of Arabia and left all of those military weapons, meaning the United States Corporation, Biden pulled the troops out and left all of that weaponry. Why don't they just go back in there, get that weaponry, and give it to the Ukraine or make that Arab nation that? And all of the or no, I'm not, I don't even want to put that out there as far as. Making them do it. But my point is, there's so many things that are obvious that's obvious that a child could see about this thing. If people would mind their own business, meaning if other countries would mind their own business and treat other countries with equality, just like Libya, Gaddafi wanted to give all the resources of their land to the common people. People in the UK that didn't want that, and there's people in the United States Corporation that didn't want that because they didn't want to go talk to a commoner for that, I forgot what they call that crude oil where you could just take it out the ground, filter it, and just put it in your car. You could put it in the engine or put it in your gas tank, that kind of crude, let alone the trillions of dollars that he had. He brought fresh water to his own people. Not even charging them. He built housing for his own people. Didn't even charge them. But yet, for some apparent reason, corporation in the United States decided that he needed to die and he was being a humanitarian. Even if he was methodical at one time, he started to give the prominence back to his people. And they murdered him. That's why I said murder. I'll say it again. Murdered. For what?
It's not the first time. It's not the first
right.
time.
Right. No, it ain't. It's not about that. But also, what happened to the trillions of dollars that was in that country? So I want to go back to this.
But that's,
Trump was not the best of an individual. Going back to your question, miss, what's your name?
I'm Jane,
Don.
And the other host is Don.
Okay, Jane, going back to your question. Wait, Don, let me finish,
what was
please.
Your name
she
again?
Said, let me talk.
What was it?
Your
what was
question
your name again,
was,
please?
No, my name is Eddie. My name is Eddie.
Okay.
Your question was, anybody sits in that seat will be scrutinized on various levels. The problem is, when Trump was in office, he didn't get a lot of airtime because he was opposing to the way things have been done. Yeah, he wanted to be egotistical. Anytime he said something, this country has never been ran as good as it's being run right now, but that's who he always has been. You know, I was in a company called ACN, and when he stood up to make a speech about how wonderful that company is, he was more so talking about what great things he was going to do with the company. Like, he was going to make a billion-dollar company more than it was, which is possible, but still, that's his air, and that's how Trump walks. But what he was trying to do for this country, prime example, when Papa Bush passed, a lot of people in politics got white envelopes. I really don't feel that would have happened if it wasn't for Mr. Trump being in office. Now, I call him Mr. Trump for that one. Everybody got one but Jimmy Carter. So if anybody wants to look at it, you go back on YouTube, put in Papa Bush's ceremony, Papa Bush's funeral, or whatever his name was, and you'll see a lot of people, when they got their organizers or whatever they call those things, I'm kind of emotional right now. It was white envelopes. Everybody got one. Obama and his wife got one. Clinton and his
My
wife got
John
one.
My friend John did mention that on a show once.
Yes, it's true. It's true. And I really don't think justice will be served to the individuals that got those white envelopes, because I think that's another reason why they gangster Trump out of office with Biden. Biden's really too old. Biden is not as healthy and as conscious as Carter, as, well, I think Clinton's, he's not as healthy. I'm not saying, all I'm saying was, even though Clinton was a young man, let me see, who else was up in age? Roosevelt was up in age when he was president. I don't think it was a good idea, but
Trump is only 4 years younger than Biden.
But Trump is much healthier, Biden. This is who I'm speaking to. I'm not talking as much
Trump
about
Trump just had
age.
A medical crisis this week. I just saw it in the news tonight.
He might commit suicide. That's the only way out of it, because he's got so many things coming at him.
He's prideful to ice himself.
Hitler was just one of his favorites. You know, he has mind comps on his bedroom table. So, you know, we're talking the guy, he would be a martyr if he did that.
I'd like to ask the question. If a country is a fireball going downhill, isn't it going to take something radical to turn it around? Do you feel that it is conducive to go to a one-world government and one-world monetary system? Do you think that's a good thing for the world, for the planet?
Hell no.
Okay, so what do you think that these individuals that's running the world right now, what do you think they're trying to do? I'm sure you know about that, right?
That's why I mentioned TPP. I'm completely against it. I mentioned other treaties that will be broken by some faction or another. I mean, if we can't keep Iran which is a second world country, if we can't keep them in check and we have to bribe them all the time, that means that we don't have any control. We're not forceful enough. And being forceful is part of being secure. So, you know, we're not doing jack enough to stop any one world order conspiracy, much less the ones that are potentially being perpetrated by the leadership. And I think that most people, you know, are going to start railing against it. They're going to start.
Right. You're talking about America's so-called leadership, correct, when you say that?
I'm talking about, you were talking about the world, the world, the leadership coming together.
Okay.
I think that there are too many different minds, different cultures, to have all those people in a one world order with generally one leader.
Where would you think the leading faculty would be? Where's the United Nations? Who created the United Nations?
Woodrow Wilson tried to create the League of Nations. There was a battery of countries that created the United Nations.
Why is the United Nations in America, and why is it in New York, if that's the case? How come it's not in Colorado or California? Why is it in New York?
I don't know, but the EU is in Brussels, Belgium. I don't think that's – New York is an international city. Why is that intimidating?
No, it's not intimidating. It's just that there's a lot of elite families that live in New York, and they conduct a great deal of their control and business from New York. Prime example.
You'd probably be happy if John was on the show because he's into all the conspiracy theory stuff. United Nations does a lot of good. Especially when they're trying to rule injustice matters for countries that have been slighted.
Then why is Africa and other so-called third world countries and it's still in the condition that they're in with the resources
That is depressing, in my opinion. I used to live with Africans when I lived in California. They were from Sierra Leone. They said that white people taught us how to be corrupt, and some of the leadership in Africa is aligned with corruption and greed, but they were taught by the white man, and unfortunately it's been perpetuated.
But the fact still remains, almost every nation, every so-called country, corporation or whatever, in Africa has, well, the stronger ones anyway, they all have representation in the United Nations, right? But yet the United Nations aren't doing anything for what's going on in Africa. But yet, since Putin, who's supposed to be considered a bad guy, just because he's opposing to the UK and their manipulation, and the United States being the dogs of war for the UK and for Israel, there's an issue. You think about it.
Well,
most of the war that's been fought in the last...
Chinese have built a lot of developments in Africa, a lot of housing and other things, and they've heavily invested in Africa in the last 15 years. Now, I'm sure they have an end game. They probably have an end game, but... they're still doing good for the communities.
But the contract that they established only benefits them, meaning we're gonna build up your infrastructure, and we're going to give you $1 billion. But
just
we
like
want
Trump.
Control of your resources. So they're pulling $1 billion out their ground every day, and they're not splitting it 75% or 60% to that country that they're pulling those resources out of. They're taking all of that. China's been busted. Might not be the military, but there was individuals in China that were stealing from the poor people. There's articles about it. They were stealing cell phones and laptops. When the police went into the housing places where the Chinese were, that were running the diamond mines and the gold mines, they had conference tables or folding tables that's the size of conference tables, with laptops and cell phones. They were running internet. They were running intel and communication back. And they were just, you see, so, you know, you got to look at both sides of a hand. You can't look at the hand because it has something that is promising. The same thing with Britain and India. The Indian Tea Company was slaving the people or prisoner of warring the people in India. And the Indians beat them off, I believe it was three times in the last 300 years. You know, so you got to turn the petri. It's good to put any issue under a microphone, a magnifying glass, but you still got to turn it around and turn it over, because you can't look at things from only one perspective, because you'll be missing more than you're seeing. Iceberg underwater, like they say. I yield.
That's what I was trying to lay to you earlier, is that there's two sides to every coin. I'm a lobbyist, citizen lobbyist. So I'm dealing with the politicians and legislatures all the time. So for the most part, you have to be able to see with open eyes what the government, the politicians, and the people want. And then, it's, you know, and that determines where the law is at. That determines where the banks are at. There is a, I would say, modern last 2,000 years where blacks are to be down to be downtrodden, and that's what's happening right now. But if you know history, you know that Africa and Africans and the birth of humans was in Africa. And we were pretty much 120,000 years before everyone else, before everyone
else. Well,
even
with that, if I may say this.
Well, there is no even with that. That's the basic.
No. My point is this. This landmass that we live on is my ancestral land. This is the best kept secret. This is the best kept secret. There's pyramids in Utah. There's mounds all over this land. North and South America, there's pyramids.
The whole
there's,
world
there's,
is our land, Eddie.
Right.
If you extrapolate that, the whole world is our land. We know it. Everyone knows it. So the bottom line is that there is a penance that we are going through right now because we have not always been benevolent leaders. We've had our wars, too, having inequality and slavery and all that stuff. So we're going through our penance now, 2,000 years so far, because generally most white men came out of caves and were living with their, you know, cows.
We don't even have to entertain any of that, you know, be it fallacy or truth. But only thing I'm speaking to, and the reason why I brought it up, is this country, the corporation of the United States, has always been concerned with controlling the resources. Going back to just like what you're talking about, the document of discovery and these things. That was another part of the wars. But overall, anybody that sits in the seat of power in this country should be first, second, and third concern should be this country. Is the only thing I'm saying.
Absolutely.
And one of the main people who had concerns with that was the one that everybody loves to hate, and he has orange hair, and he has a good golf game. You know, because, again, I remember the Central Park Five. I was in New York, you know, and when they were found
but
that they didn't
but
do
you
it.
You don't obviously remember when Trump was getting sued left and right because he was discriminating against tenants, black tenants, in his building. He had more lawsuits.
Yeah.
That was a good point.
He's had more
lawsuits. I remember.
He should have been locked up a long time ago, Eddie. The man is a stone cold.
How about all the rest of the people? How about, listen, didn't Biden.
Eddie,
didn't
please,
Biden,
please. We're
didn't
not talking
Biden.
About. They're all, Eddie, there's a point that they're all corrupt. They have to be. In order to satisfy their donors, they have to do things you know, like I was talking about the Queen. They had to shut up when things were going on. So they're all this complicit in something that is either illegal or moral or against regulation. So they all have to do it. It's a part of the job.
And that's why I hope, that's why I hope everybody that got a white envelope and will have their day in court, and if they're guilty as hell, regardless of their position.
What was in the white envelope? I forgot.
That was 3 years ago, and nothing's come of it.
Well, look who's in office now, and look who got one of those white envelopes also. See, this is my point.
Yeah, but
yeah, okay.
Donald Trump bent the FISA court. He didn't follow all the rules in the FISA court either.
Well,
what do you mean? He
didn't follow talking about the FISA court. None of that stuff came to fruition with what you're discussing. We did cover that a year and a half to 2 years ago.
But only reason why I'm bringing it up is, let's just say the last 75 years, there was a lot of things going on. Even when Obama was in office, his first year in office, they said there was over 50,000 children and women missing in the D.C. area alone, okay? Something like that. But all I'm speaking to is the only way things are going to change for the better, the system needs to be revamped. No, we do not need to go to digital currency. No, we don't even need to use Federal Reserve money because it's not a currency that's printed and created and backed by things from the United States Corporation. You know, Greenspan said when he was president of the Federal Reserve, we are not part of the United States, nor do we have any obligation, nor do they control us. So that right there demonstrated that our debt, every time a dollar of the Federal Reserve money is spent, even if it's only 25 cents is owed, meaning $1.25 is owed to the Federal Reserve, that's still gangsterism. It's just like drugs on the street. So
exactly.
This country, let me finish this one point and then I'll be quiet.
That's how we're run, though. I don't know.
But, dude, it doesn't have to be that way if it's going to be a perfect union, as it says in the Constitution and all of these different articles.
Go ahead.
Right?
Go ahead and finish your point. Go ahead.
Okay.
It's not a perfect union. It'll never be.
You're right. I agree because,
the
you
first
know,
article,
that's why I said about a fireball rolling downhill. That's
why
I said that.
Eddie, the first article in the Constitution, they had to take it out. The first article, very first thing said, very first thing in the United States Constitution,
mm-hmm.
very first thing, the Negro is three-fifths of a man.
Who's a
so
Negro?
Start all your arguments from there.
Is a Negro status in law? Is a Negro? See, it goes back to that prime example. Do you call yourself a Negro?
Oh, hell no.
Okay.
I mean,
so I'm just saying, think about it. Therefore, they're not talking about you. You see my point?
No.
Same thing with blacks, same thing with African Americans.
Back then, they were all Negroes.
No. All I'm saying is, going back to ecclesiastical law, Jesus asked his disciples, who do they say I am? Who do you say I am? And then he said who he is. You have an inalienable right to say who you are. If you say you're an African American, then you should have dual citizenship, and you're standing a chance of being put out this country. But if you check your true ancestry and find out that you are all American before Christopher Columbus, then this country belongs to you. And you should
Correct.
Be the lawgiver. And you should be the lawgiver. Because the United States, true United States, I heard it on Coast to Coast, George Norrie at night. The United States is Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is not even part of Maryland. Washington, D.C. is just like the Vatican, just like Buckingham Palace. So they should only govern their land, which is Washington, D.C., and they need to pay rent because that's indigenous land also.
Correct.
But even that, if this is not beneficial to all the people who reside in the walls of this country, then that shit needs to be disbanded and put back the right way, because it shouldn't benefit 1%, 6%, and everybody else suffers. No. This already been told that the people who pay taxes, that tax money doesn't really go into the system of running this country. So where does that
money
go?
Neither do nonprofits. Nonprofit.
Right.
75% of all nonprofit money goes into somebody's pocket.
Exactly. So let's just keep it simple. These are the things, and that's why I emphasize on that.
Have you watched it on Netflix in a row?
The only way those envelopes will have their day in court, if somebody like Trump.
Don, can you move rooms?
No, I'm not saying anything right now.
Well, I hear no background noise. I hear background noise.
Okay.
I have to end the show soon because I have to get up early for work, and we've been over an hour. So,
well, you enjoy your lunch tomorrow.
Well, we usually do our conclusions now. Who would like to go first? Would anyone like to go first?
Let our guests go first.
Okay.
Okay. Summarize what we talked about?
Me, Eddie?
Yes, Eddie.
Okay. I got on late, but your caption says you gave acknowledgement to the Queen. You did talk about the Ukraine. And then when I got on, I started specifically talking about this landmass, because this really should be what's most important to anybody that sits in that seat of power. You know, yeah, we had contracts with England, but there also was a battle. So that's basically the necessity of straightening up our own backyard, even though, you know, we did kind of go left and right and then back to the middle. And I enjoyed, you know, having the opportunity to share my beliefs, and well, I say opinions, I don't like beliefs, on your platform.
That was very well spoken. My name's Jane, I'm the host of the show, and I have several other hosts, but I'm the lead host because I created the show 12 years ago. I think when we have our compatriot John on the show, he likes to talk a lot about the corruptive factors that are driving the two-party system, and sometimes he uses dialogue that creates division, eliminating all good purpose for government. Like, he can't see the forest through the trees. I know that there's a world order and that there's a top 1% calling the shots, but I do think I still have a altruistic view that some good can come out of decisions, and countries such as where my heritage is from in Sweden and Finland, not all countries are driven by hatred and corruption. I wanted to mention that Ukraine, the capital of Russia, used to be in Kiev in the 1300s, and it used to be called Kiev. It was moved to Moscow later on, and Russia identifies with the Ukraine as part of their heritage, and they don't want to abandon that. That's why they're fighting hard. However, I don't agree with their methods of how they're fighting. I have enjoyed having you on the show because one of our central hosts is not present tonight. He had a conflict. And thank you for having a civil discussion with us about relevant topics. Now I'll yield the floor to Don.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, everyone.
You called me John.
You owe her 20 push-ups.
Thank you. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, everyone. But, for the most part, I like everyone. I do the public speaking, go to some conferences, things like that. And the one thing I always tell people, remember the history. history is cyclical. What goes around comes around, and you know, a lot of times you'll see something at least twice. So the history, the facts of history are born of the two things that I mentioned earlier, that the African has been here for 120,000 years before any other man. The world is ours. We populated it. Every color, every race, every, you know, whatever that host that Eddie mentioned said, you know, that we are all Africans. America is part of Africa. The Indians, you know, came over, they're brown, melanin, and melanin. So we are all have, you know, African in us. The other thing, major thing that is undisputable is the Constitution did have Article 1, Negro, which could not be disputed because, you know, Africans couldn't talk. They didn't speak English. So the,
well, a lot of them eventually did, like Liberians.
Oh, Jane, stop. When they got off the boat, they didn't know a damn motherfucking thing about English. But anyway, so they were called Negro. And so the Negro is only three-fifths of a man, is where our starting basis point has to be on any discussion about America, much less discussions about race and politics. Everything is against the Negro, you know, or whoever you want to call them, the African American, the black man, you know, and we have to begin every postulate when we're talking about the United States from that basis. And then once we understand that, then we can start talking, communicating, and maybe getting things done for a peaceful transition to what? 2045, which I've always been saying, which is when a majority become a minority, when you clump together all the BIPOC culture. So just look at the facts and then come at anybody with whatever you've got, your opinions or whatever you want to call them, and then we'll be able to talk. Good night.
Jane?
All right, that was Don's history lesson. I don't think Donald Trump has an ounce of black blood in him, but go
I
for
bet
it.
He has a whole bunch. Yeah, that's what he's scared of. That's the Trump, you know, his name is
he's scared
Trump.
Of himself.
Trump. His name, yeah, he is, because he knows how mean he could be. You know, his kids don't really like him. He's talking about Ivanka.
Except for Ivanka.
Ivanka. Barron. He's talking about him like he's done, like he's made love to her before. She's in fact, you know, she was my daughter and shit. But I, you know.
Okay,
let's not go into that
at the end of the night.
On that note,
I'm going to bed. Thank you for joining us. I'm playing one of John's songs on the way out. Have a great night, y'all.
Thank
all right?
Like Trump, I love to grab the...
I'm going to mute you, Don. 1, 2, 3, Don, mute. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
I met the Lord, a new way of speaking, new way of preaching, new way of preaching since I met the Lord.
Hey.
I met the Lord, got a new way of planning, new understanding.